Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Henri Barkey, who's a professor of international relations at Lehigh University. He served as a member of the United States State Department's policy planning staff, working primarily on the Middle East, the Eastern Mediterranean, and intelligence from 1998 to 2000. He has authored, co-authored, and edited five books, among them Turkey's Kurdish Question with Graham Fuller, Reluctant Neighbor, Turkey's Role in the Middle East, and most recently, European Responses to Globalization's Resistance, Adaptation, and Alternatives. Welcome to Background Briefing, Henri Barkey.
Thank you.
And apparently there are four U.S. Navy destroyers, the Mahn, the Barry, the Gravely, and the Ramage, that are in the Eastern Mediterranean. There is a sense now that the red line that may have been crossed earlier was crossed rather sort of blatantly this time. And do you believe that at the end of the day, this is more to do with WMD and crossing that threshold, or do you still see this in the context of the Syrian agony?
Look, this is about the crossing of a red line. It's a red line that President Obama set forth a year ago, essentially, on August 20th of 2012. And since then, there have been other suggestions that the Syrians had used weapons. But this is a real clear case of the use of chemical weapons. We don't know what it is, but some chemical agent was used. Otherwise, you would not have produced these many and these kinds of calamity or victims. Now, the question is that what the United States will and can only do is maybe punish the Syrians for using it, but that's the most it can do in the sense that this is not going to be about overthrowing the Assad regime. The American administration is not interested in getting involved in a long drawn-out conflict in the region. It has resisted it for a very, very long time. So we should be looking at some kind of military action that will be punitive, but will be very limited.
Well, the reports are that the shelling came from where the 4th Division, Maha, the brother of Bashar al-Assad's group, and that there are some reports that this is a new compound that they mixed a little bit of sarin with riot gas. How much do you think this idea of these inspectors coming in, they're already in country and now they've been allowed to go there, and most people think that there's a delaying game going on in order for the evidence to degrade. But I spoke the other day with a chemical weapons specialist who was one of the UN inspectors in Iraq, and he said that there should be plenty of evidence from the pathology of the victims. That would tell you enough. So do you have any sense of where the evidence stands?
Oh, look, this is beyond above my pay scale. I mean,
sure.
Médecins Sans Frontières came out and said this was gas, and I'm not about to question, you know, doctors and experts on this. I don't know. I mean, I cannot, especially sitting here in Washington, there's no way for me to know one way or the other. I mean, you look at reports and you look at credible sources, and the question is, who would you trust? And in this particular case, I would say a reputable organization like Médecins Sans Frontières would be a group I would look to and show the UN inspectors if they find anything. Now, I understand that UN inspectors are not allowed by charter to say who fired or who used the weapons of mass destruction. All they can say is whether or not they have been employed. So that's going to be a little bit tricky. But it seems to me that whichever way you look at it, this was done by the Syrian military, because no one else can use this so much gas in such a short period of time. And it was clearly deliberate. It was done at the dawn hours. This is not the something that Iraq tag units of Al-Qaeda or ISIS or Al-Nusra can do. It doesn't seem like that's possible. That doesn't mean that Al-Qaeda is not a vicious organization or Al-Nusra is not a vicious organization, but this was clearly done by the Syrian military. The question is, to me, what is very weird about this is why now? Why do they need to do now? Unless they were really preparing a major onslaught on the region to clear out the opposition from Damascus, it doesn't make sense. Because weapons of mass destruction like that scare people, and but they don't really change in situations like that the balance of power. I don't think so. The only time we know that it happened was during the Iran-Iraq war, when Saddam used it against the Iranians, but that was in the context of large battles where huge amounts were used.
Again, I'm speaking with Henri Bakke, professor of international relations at Lehigh University. He served as a member of the United States State Department's policy planning staff, working primarily on the Middle East, the Eastern Mediterranean, and intelligence. And is it possible, though, that, as you say, that first of all, the polls indicate that the American people do not want another war, and they're reluctant to get involved in Syria, and the president has appeared to have expressed that same kind of reluctance over the years. But I talk often to the local coordinating committees, the English language spokesperson for the Syrian rebels. And of course, you know, obviously you have to take a lot of what's being said as propaganda. But on the other hand, the belief seems to be that if you went after the Assad family and knocked them off or humiliated them sufficiently, which I imagine would be tantamount to killing them, that suddenly the whole house of cards would collapse and you'd have a new day in Syria.
Look, a lot of people are speculating. They don't know what the United States will do. I don't know what the United States will do either. But first of all, but I do know one thing. It will not go after the Assad family. In large measure, I think it's because it's very, very difficult to pinpoint where they are. And we've been talking now for a few days about American military action. You think the Syrian leadership is waiting in their palaces and saying, oh, when will the Americans attack? And, you know, sitting in the dining room, you know, waiting for the Americans to attack. Everybody has been dispersed. The one good thing about talking in advance of a military strike is that many of the Iranian and Russian advisors that the Syrians have will have probably also gone underground, because the last thing we want to do is kill Russians and Iranians, because we don't want crises with them. But if I was the administration, what I would do is I would do a limited strike to show that you cross the red line, you have to pay a price, but it should be a strike that will hurt. And what is it that would hurt the Syrians most at the moment? Since you can't go after the chemical weapons stockpiles, you don't know exactly where they are. Even if you do, there may be civilians around there, or you may spread the chemical agents into the air, which you don't want to do. So what I would do is I would target two very specific targets. One is a military airport in Damascus, which is being used to resupply the Syrian army from Russia and Iran. And the other one is the facilities at Latakia port that are also being used to resupply the Syrian military. Now, that would put a dent in terms of the resupply effort of the Syrians. Sure, they can repair all these things, but it's going to take some time. And I think that's all we can expect the United States to do, because everything else, the Syrians are now probably moving, hiding. You know, you can hit maybe Maher's headquarters. Okay, that's another target, but probably there won't be anybody in there. So this military action, you have to remember, is mostly political. It is not military. It's political in the sense that the United States administration will want to make a point. The point is, we will intervene when we say we'll intervene with the use of weapons of mass destruction. Because if the administration doesn't do it now, it will look very bad. I say this as somebody who has said from the beginning that we should not go into Syria in any shape, way, or form. But sometimes, because there was a red line set by the administration, and I think it's the right thing to do, we need to respond and send a message. But it doesn't mean that the people who use the weapons of mass destruction will be punished. That is to say, if Maher ordered this, they won't get Maher, because Maher is hiding someplace. It's the same thing. It's true for Bashar. And you don't want to hit the family, because children and women are not part of this. So all you can do is limited damage that will hinder the ability of the Syrian army to replenish itself. And if they do it again, then you will have to escalate. But the point has to be made. But this is a political strike. It is not a strike in a military sense.
Well, that would indicate probably what appears to be going on from press reports in the White House is that the National Security Advisor Susan Rice, the Secretary of State John Kerry, the Chief of Staff, everybody's, according to the press, weighing in on President Obama, saying you've got to use military action. And the person that's apparently dragging their heels is the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, would indicate that the military people don't think this is particularly wise, but the civilian people think it's necessary.
Right. I mean, the military is right insofar as there is a problem here, and that is to say, we hit them once or we hit them twice, but there is a downside to all of this, which is also why I've always been opposed to any military action in Syria, is that what happens the day after tomorrow? The day after tomorrow, Assad will still be there, and people around the world will say, well, you hit them, and you know they're still there. Why don't you finish the job? Why don't you continue? I mean, there will be a tendency around the world to now say that this is our problem. And so the president has to be very crystal clear. He has to say, I said the use of chemical weapons will result in American action, and this is why I'm doing it. And I would, if I also was the United States, I would not engage other powers to do this. I would do it by myself. I mean, I think it's important to show that the United States alone is doing it, and I would not use any other militaries. I wouldn't use bases in Turkey. I would just use our stuff that's in the Mediterranean. There's enough things out there that we can do this. But there is that problem, which is why the president, from the beginning, has been very reluctant to get involved in Syria, because he doesn't want to own it. And there will be pressure. Unquestionably, there will be pressure on him to try to give him Syria and ask him to fix it now that he has sent American forces in. He has used American weapons here. So it's going to be a balancing act. He really has to give a speech explaining this that will leave no questions out there for people to ponder. It's going to have to be. It has to be crystal clear. But he has to say that this is a limited military action to demonstrate American resolve to stop the use of weapons of mass destruction in this day and age, in the 21st century. And he will also have to threaten that next time it's going to be worse. And so that there is a deterrent. It has been said. Now, the Russians are going to be really mad about this. I mean, the Russian policy so far in Syria has been trying to rub America's nose, if possible. I mean, they've really been trying to humiliate the United States. But this is going to put them now on a defensive. And there's not much they can do to counter an American strike. So, in a way, this is also a challenge to the Russians.
So, Henri Bakke, just in closing, it's pretty clear that the British government, the French government, are ahead of the US in saying that the line has been crossed and military action is required, and strong force, I think, is the way the French described it. Is there any truth to the story that some time back, when Sarkozy was president of France facing an election which he subsequently lost, that he'd lobbied the White House along with the Saudis to strike the palace on Qassam Mountain?
I don't know that.
Yeah.
There's no way for me to know that. But look, yes, the French and the British may be ahead of us at the moment, but let's remember one thing. It is the United States that will do this. They don't have the wherewithal to do it, one. Two, because we will do it, and it's okay for the administration to essentially say nothing at the moment, right? Because ultimately, action will speak louder than words. The fact that the French and the British are ahead of us doesn't really mean much at the moment.
Well, Henri Barkey, I thank you very much for filling us in on what's likely to be the case here, and I appreciate it. Again, I've been speaking with Henri Barkey, professor of international relations at Lehigh University. He served as a member of the United States State Department's policy planning staff, working primarily on the Middle East, the Eastern Mediterranean, and intelligence from 1998 to 2000. He has authored, co-authored, and edited five books, amongst them Turkey's Kurdish Question with Graham Fuller, Reluctant Neighbor, Turkey's Role in the Middle East, and most recently, European Response to Globalization, Resistance, Adaptation, and Alternatives. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about the United States of Paranoia.